I think it's so beautiful, huh? Marbim b'simcha. First, I want to thank everybody. This is Parshas Truma. Yom Rishon Parshas Truma. Thank you, Torah, anytime, Torah. Thank you, Kavish Gocha Pratis. Thank you, Kol HaLoshin. Thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for everything. And now we're going to begin. We must start with a joke. First of all, it's a Gemara. Rava used to start a shiur with a joke. You know that? Start with a joke. That makes people... Rava Malach Hashem Tzvoki started his shiur with a joke. We have to learn. The Tanoim were into jokes. What's going on here? You got to make a joke. Rava started with a joke. Okay, here goes. For Adar, for sure we need one. Now, I'm going to be quite nasty. I hope the Yerlim will be able to tolerate what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be very nasty right now. Be ready. This is really nasty. You sure you want to hear me? There's some other guys. You can hear them. There's a lot of good people out there. But if you want to hear me, get ready. Here goes. Now, I went to New York, and I told a joke. Now, first of all, when I'm going to say this joke over, it's high risk. Why? Because, oh, we heard that one already. So that my coverage is already in the garbage. He doesn't have any jokes left. That's a traumatic thing for me. No jokes. Can you think of something new? You're busy with hazarding old jokes. That's the only joke you know. So you understand I'm under a lot of pressure right now. Just in case Yerlim heard my joke already, then I'm in trouble. Never heard my joke. Here goes. I say, if you heard it already, it's time for Chazara. So here goes. Now, my father-in-law was a Munkach of Chassid with a Shtreimel. And he never fell in with me, the Litvak. I fell in with him too. You know, that's how it goes. And my wife is more Litvish. You know, he sent her to Bis Yaakov. That's what happens. She's also on the Litvish side. One day, the Chappingish moves together. My father-in-law is talking with my wife. And my wife says, Mashiach is going to be a Litvak. Really. My shvei says, no. Mashiach is not going to be a Litvak. His donkey is going to be a Litvak. Don Eisel gave Don a Litvak. He's not going to be a Litvak. Now, I told over this joke when I went to Borough Park, and I was speaking for over 200 chassidim over there, and I knew it's good for me. If I'm going to speak before chassidim, I better make the kind of jokes that they might appreciate. So I told over this. And then when I told it over, I said, I want the door closed, please. Close that door before I say this joke. Can you please close that door? Yes. And please, nobody, don't let this get back to Lakewood. That was a joke. Anyway, they laughed. They liked the joke. What? Self-hating. So, we're kidding, you know. Well, when I came back to Lakewood, I told the joke again. I told it twice, this time in front of the Litvaks. And I saw that they laughed. In my perception, they laughed louder than they did, than the chassidim. They were really laughing. The Litvaks were on the floor. Yes, donkey's going to be a Litvak. You know, they laughed. They were laughing. So I needed a pshat. Why did the Litvaks laugh more on this joke than the chassidim? And I have a pshat. Because by the Litvak is taka a joke. I'm afraid by the sea is not such a joke. I'm joking. It's Adar. You have to make jokes now. I want to tell you something about. Oh boy, I'm going to tell you what Bali B'tochen can do. They can turn over the world. Watch out for them. Bali B'tochen is, you know, there's a chazal that says, that call me, Shabbatei Abashem, Nasa B'yotz, Ki Yotz, Abayi, Shabbatei Abashem, you become mamish like Hashem. Shenem B'yotz, Hashem, The one who's b'teich in him becomes like Hashem Amish. Unbelievable. You have such power. Your mom is like Hashem. You're a big shot around here. I know people who use remote control. They use remote control when they want to control the people around them. They don't talk to people much. They get what they want just by dominating. I know of a certain woman. Her kids were driving her up a wall until she got smart. And she learned how to go into the other room and say, Abishta, put that kid in his place, please. I'm telling you. Her husband told me about this. I know a younger man who had a family situation where his wife wasn't worth much. I mean, she wasn't for the family. She just wasn't. You know, he married a lady that's, you know, and he himself didn't think he was the greatest. You know, he figured, in my case, there's three partners in a person. There's Hashem, and there's a husband and a wife. In my case, Hashem is going to be a much more dominating role than in normal cases. And the guy started talking to Hashem like nobody. Everything that went on in the house, he, instead of talking to his wife, okay, she said, would you want to discuss what we should do with the kids? He knows already where he's holding. He's in for fireworks. As soon as he opens his mouth, his wife lets him have it. And he lets her have it, you know. So you're going nowhere. What are you wasting your time for? He says, I'm going to the other partner in our union. There's Hashem. Three partners in their marriage. See, you went to Hashem. And he told him what's on his mind. And boy, he got everything he wanted. He got everything. He mamish got everything he wanted. He said, he used to do shtiklach. He called it remote control. He watched his kid doing what they wanted. One time, he didn't like a shidduch. He wanted a shidduch. He did want it. He didn't want it. One of his sons was looking into a shidduch. He didn't like the girl. He says, Avishta, make them hate each other tomorrow. The next day, son comes back. Oh, she's disgusting. He did. Mamas did things like that. Then he wanted a shidduch, not a shidduch, but it was daughter, and the shiva was a hard, you know, she was getting a top boy, and he can't get him so easily. And now they're going to ask, the boy was going to ask his Rosh Hashiva's opinion, and knowing the Rosh Hashiva, he used to nix everything. Of course, you know, you can't get, he used to go up in an attic somewhere, and he'd say, Hashem, make that Rosh Hashiva behave himself. And exactly, Rosh Hashiva turned into butter. No one believed it. He didn't fire a shot. And everybody wondered, what got into him? Because this guy, if you really believe in Hashem, you're in a different world. Try to make believe. Chapash muzvaram. Talk with Hashem. Tell him what's on your mind. Hashem, thank you so much for getting, he got the shidduch. And he made shtiklach. He wanted this one, didn't want that one. He got everything he wanted. It was crazy. And they all lived happily ever after. They all did well. Unbelievable. Person, you're close to Hashem. What you can do, what people can do, they're close to Hashem. What a person can do. Who is like that? Esther. Esther's forgot that Ahasuerus is standing there. And she thinks, she forgot that he was standing there. So she's about to point to him. He is the nasty guy around there, about to point to her husband, the king who can... You know what Ahasuerus did to Vashti? He burned her alive. That's what he did. That's what Mayam Laya says. He burned her alive. Isn't that a nice husband? His wife gets out of hand, burn you alive, no problem. And she's that who wants to marry such a guy. And she's stuck with him. She got, you know, you better watch every move you're making. But if the 3 days of fasting and her head is up with Hashem the way it's supposed to be, she wants to tell Hashem what she thinks of Ahasuerus, and she's about to point to him, Ahasuerus, you are the Rasha. She was about to do that. The Malach had to push her away and put a finger to Haman. Unbelievable story. But she was in a different world. Esther HaMalka was in a different world. Madregis of being close to Hashem. She was about to call him a dog. She was about to call Achshverosh a dog. She lost the Ruach HaKodesh. You don't do that to a king. So she called him a lion. So then Daibish accepted that. So why did she want to call him a dog? I'll tell you why. Because in her mind, he was a zero. She came from Binyamin. And there's a Netziv, one of my favorite Netzivs, beautiful Netziv. Netziv says that Shevet Binyamin is different than all the other Shvatim. Shevet Binyamin is kings in Betochen and Hefkerus. That's what he calls it, Hefkerus. They're crazy. They're like the Hefka. Now, what's that all about? Says the holy Netziv. David HaMelech, you never find him using a pea shooter to kill somebody. Well, he took a slingshot to kill Goliath. Goliath thought, what's going on? Am I a dog? Notice, a dog. Here we go with a dog. Am I a dog? You're coming to me with sticks and stones? Where's your spear? Where's your sword? Where's your shield? You know, we're going to have hand-to-hand combat. We're going to fight it out. You don't come to me with a stone. Are you serious? You're degrading me. And David said, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. You are exactly a dog. That's exactly the way I see you. He didn't say that. He said worse. When he said to Goliath, he said, the birds are going to be eating your flesh. You're not worth a penny. You got to see the psukim. The brazenness he comes up there. You have to understand he had a piece of Esav in him. I mean, his nature was Esav. He didn't have a piece of Esav, Chas v'Shalom, but he had that. He had it in him. It was just in tight control. All his life, he was sweet, he was wonderful, but you got on his bad side, and if you're fighting against God's Klal Yisrael, oh no, no, and he's Mecharef and Megadef for what he was doing, he was cursing, he was making crazy. Now, Goli said, watch what I'm going to do to you. You're not worth a penny, and you got to see those psukim. Yeida kol kol kodesh ezek yeshali kim Yisrael. And everyone's going to know there's a Nebuchadnezzar in this world. You don't do what you want around here. That's what happens when David HaMelech spends all the 31st years of his life alone in the forest. When you're kicked out of your family, it's the best thing. You know that? Do you know that? When you're kicked, don't look for trouble. But if you're kicked out of your family, you got David was. They kicked him out. He wasn't they didn't respect him in his family. He was like, they didn't respect him. He was like, you know, when Shmuel and Avi came, they presented the whole family. David was left out. They thought he was a mamzer. They wanted him, a lion or a bear should kill him. They didn't want to kill him directly, but let the lions and bears kill him. He don't count. Not money. He's such a tough guy, and it's a... And he's a mamzer. There was something happened before he was born where they thought he was a mamzer. Sure. We're wrong, but still. So how would you like to be a good traumatic experience? Would you like to be anybody complaining about his younger years? They didn't treat me right. Oh, the teachers, what they did to me, the parents, the teachers, the siblings. Oh, how much I went through. Okay, let's take a look. David HaMelech, what kind of youth did he have? Look at that. To leave him out, to get killed. Anyway, now he's coming in. And a psychologist would have had a field day with David HaMelech. This is going to be a lots of money for me. This guy will hold him for the rest of his life to get rid of all the trauma. You have to understand his father was a Gadol HaDor. He never sinned in his life. And when he went out of the yeshiva, how many... 50,000 Talmidim followed Yishai. How many? How many? What's a Samach Ribay? 60 myriads. Very good. 60 myriads when he walked out of Yeshiva, all following, drinking his every word. That's your father. And his brothers were Rosh Yeshivas. They weren't kids. Gedolei Yisrael. His oldest brother, Shmuel Hanavi, took one look at him. He says, that must be the king. Because he was so Aliyah, tall, beautiful. And David, so how would you like to have a father who's so world famous and everyone's eating out of his hand, and he, together with the brothers, would rather you wouldn't be around? You know how, what a trauma that, what that could do to a person? So if you have only Hashem, which David discovered, he stayed alone, and he sang to the Yiddish in the forest, and he developed a relationship with Hashem. It was worth it. Because alone, if it would have been the family with the brothers, speaking and learning, accepted, best thing when you're in a trouble. Somebody has a difficult marriage, or a difficult family, or difficult anything. Say, go straight to Hashem and become friends with Him. And then when the day comes and everybody, nobody knows they're coming or going, because Goliath was a giant, and he was, and everyone was petrified. He was covered head to toe with copper, and everybody was petrified of him not to get near him. And he was smart enough to know that to be mevatel in the Krishna Shakras and Arvis for 40 days. And he says, nobody's going to fight me because I know Krishna could save you. I'm not going to let that happen. You're not saying Krishna. It's mevatel. Anyways, so David steps up and says, oh yeah, I'll put you in your place. Ah, what a beautiful story. And the thing is, he called him a dog. Now, why did David use a slingshot? He never did that later. He only did it here. Later on, he took a battle axe or whatever he took. He took a bow and arrow. That's known. He used to shoot. David HaMelech was a warrior. Why did he? Oh, now he took, says the Netziv, you know why he took a slingshot? Because he was under Binyamin. The king those days was Shaul. Binyamin is a different type of shevet. Binyamin is a shevet that never bowed down to Esau or Russia. Binyamin, kum tarayim, machzachemish, kum tarayim. Binyamin is a shevet that never, kum tarayim, bo mahamanechem. Oh, the Torah anytime. Did you hear what I just said? Now look, they're all coming, they're flooding me. They're coming from what we have, Silver Spring, Maryland. Maryland, thanks for coming. And make sure it's good for us. Make yourself comfortable. You're the best. We're holding a middle of Jack. Help me from Jack. Emit from vodka. That's it. We're good. We're chashuva people. We know how to drink. Anyway, so David HaMelech says the Hilig in Netziv. David HaMelech. Why did he take a pea shooter to kill this giant? A slingshot? What's going on here? He never did that again. Because he's under Binyamin. Right now, the Malchus is in the hands of Shevet Binyamin, Shaul. And Binyamin never bowed down to Esav or Russia. Binyamin looks at Esav like he's a hunt. Like, Esther, you're a dog over there. That's a dog. Shevet Binyamin. Now, I'm building on the Netziv. The Netziv says this, what I'm saying. The dog business, I'm doing it. But the Netziv says that Shevet Binyamin, they go betochen. That whole machlekes by Kriyas Yamsuf, how do you want it to happen? And Yehuda wanted something in Teva, and it'll split also. And Binyamin said, throw Teva in the garbage. We don't believe in Teva. We have the Abishtha. We never bow down to Asa. We're not into that stuff. We go straight to the Abish to take a pea shooter and kill him. I'll give you a riot to this beautiful stuff. Pelegish Begiva. By the story of Pelegish Begiva, the Shevet Binyamin went to war against the entire Klal Yisrael. And they won twice. And it says that they took 700 slingshots. 700 archers used. There were lefties, which is weird. Lefties, and I touched lefty as being non-conventional. Lefty symbolizes something. I left at the system. Like the Netziv says, Shevet Binyamin had Betochen and Efkadis. They're a different league. They're not into Teva. We left off the whole Teva. You know what Yonason did? That's why he loved David so much. According to the Malbim. You know what Yonason loved David? They were the same type. They had Teva in the garbage can. They were not impressed with Teva. Both of Yonason, his father, about to fight a war against millions of Plishtim. And Yonason says, okay, what do we have to bother with this war? All these people coming. He calls his arms bearer. Amen. The famous words, what's the difference to Hashem? Let's knock him off. And he did. He went, to arms bearer, he wiped out all the Plishtim like a joke. He started with a sword, and they got all to tumult, and it was over. The war was over. Yonason did the job himself. I have to wait for a whole battle. Ooh, that's Yonason. And now you got David. You see the similarity? They loved each other for a reason. This says the Malbim. Because in Amunah B'tochim, we're the same. We understand each other. That's Pshat. They love each other like there's nose. What's going on here? David and Yonason loved each other. Us too. We're friends. We know what the Eibishter is. Ah, we laugh at the world. Beautiful stuff. And that's why now I want to add, according to them too. So first I want to say why they had slingshots at Pelegish Begiva. They went to war against the whole Klai Yisrael, just Shevet Binyamin alone, and they were wrong. They had done something terrible. I don't want to tell the whole story, but no, that's why the whole Klai Yisrael had a chiv to go to war against them. And Binyamin won twice. And what are they doing with 700 slingshots? A slingshot, that's all on Taina, according to the Nitziv. Fits in great. We don't need this stuff. We're Binyamin. We laugh at the system. Oh, you all go to work. That's so nice. You all go to doctors. We're not into that stuff. We have the Amish to shave a Binyamin, Yemini. Ah. Anyway, that's what I wanted to tell you. So Esther Amalkis says, she points out Achashverosh, the hunt. This guy's a dog. I'm not gayer than you. In Binyamin, they weren't afraid of people. I'm not Gairus you. I never bow down to Esav. I'm a different. She said, well, who are you, Achashverosh? She was about to point out, she's Achashverosh, lady, are you okay? Chassid Shalom to say such a thing. But what are you doing? She was about to point to Achashverosh and say, you're to Russia. She's not scared of him. Look what's going on. And she called him a dog, but she couldn't. He was a melech. But I tell you, that's why she called him a dog, because in her eyes, you are a dog. Now, I want to tell you something. Why did Haman end up in the garbage can? Because when he was big, in Mordechai's eyes, he was already dead meat. He didn't see Haman. Everyone sees Haman. I don't see that stuff. You know the real Baba Tachan? I tell you, Evan Ezra says this on Yaina HaNavi. When he was inside the fish, says Yaina HaNavi didn't see. He talked in past tense. I'm out of here already. You know that? You got to see the Lushan over there in Yaina. Where he talks, he's inside the fish. I'm already in Yerushalayim. I'm past this whole thing. The Navi's B'tochen is so great. He's like, he's not thinking in the present. He's, okay. I tell this to people a lot. It works wonders. I tell people, someone just called the sick, whatever, someone's sick. I say, you're going to look back and laugh. Oh, remember we were so worried and nothing happened, remember? That's what you're going to do. I say this all the time. You got to, that's the way a Navi, Evan Ezra says this in Yana. And that's it. So Mordechai takes a look at Haman, and he says, Haman, you don't count. You got to see the Midrashim. You must see him. Amlaiz brings them all down. He says, he looks at Haman, you know, he had a jambo. A jambo is a metal piece that's on your feet. And they were once both generals, Mordechai and Haman, both five-star generals, that there was a revolt. India rebelled against Persia. And Ahasuerus sent Mordechai and Haman to squash them all out of this. So Haman, before the battles, he decided to have a little fun, and he started drinking Jack Daniels, and he drank vodka, and his men started smoking, and what is it called? Weeds, a little marijuana. They had all the fun. You know, weeds, what do they call it? Weed, squeeze and schmeeze and mashugah gemacht, trinken and shreche gemacht and freilach. All right. But after a while, they had no money left. And they have to fight. They're fighting a war. And there's no money left. What are we going to do now? We're messed up. We're achad shverich. Don't start up with him. What are we going to do? So he runs to Mordechai. Can you do me a favor? We're all messed up. Give us some money. He says, Mordechai, no problem. Mordechai was a good businessman. And he said, no problem. Here, you see my jambo? Jambo is the shield they have on the foot. You know, they put a metal piece over there on both feet. He said, write down on the jambo, I, Haman, am a slave to Mordechai. No, go write it and give you the money. A deal? Deal. So, now, years later, when Haman's running the world, everyone got to bow down to him. So Mordechai's walking in the street, and Haman says, why aren't you bowing down to me? Mordechai says, he picks up his foot, says, Haman, remember? Remember? See that? You're my slave. Get lost. You know, you're not scaring me. The stoltz, the chutzpah. Ooh. What? Look at the chutzpah that Mordechai had. He wasn't scared of him. Then when he got on the horse, he told Haman, Russia, he called him Russia. He says, he steps on his neck. He kicks them on the way up. First, you got to give me a bath. Hey, give me a haircut. No, I'm weak. I'm fasting. You have to, and Haman's going to sugar. And the Ahasuerus says, Al tapel mikom ashi divarter. So he, on the way up, he kicks him on the neck. So Haman said, what was that for? I know, Haman knew how to learn. He was an Amoritz. Haman knew how to learn. He said, it says in Mufaloi Vachal Tismach. You're not supposed to do that. He says, no, that's only with us Jews between each other. But guys like you, Avatar Bamasecha Tidreich. Said, you step on his head, you don't count. And the Mordechai spoke to him with chutzpah, uzzah, no fear whatsoever. Binyamin. See? Shave it, Binyamin. Not this spoil. I don't even see you. Now, what do we have from this? The doctor, someone just called me up. Now, maybe she had hoped that. This person is Nebuchadnezzar, whatever he has. And the doctor gave him, it's hopeless. That's very intelligent for doctors to talk like that. I don't know. With medical school, you know, they don't teach you basic, you know, what do you want to do to these people, you know? Well, there's no hope, and that's, what do you have for? They did it to me also. Don't worry. He said, I faff them on. You got to learn how to faff them on. You sometimes have to be a little bit grub with the people around you. If they're destroying you, look, in a Nadal Eifin, the Eibishter had it when Aaron was intimidated by the Nisim. The Eibishter said, Shalcha gedolim shalahem, you're better than them. What happened? He's making him fall Gaibanik. You're better than them. See that? I do this with people. They say, Rabbi Mendel, it's not right. I'm better than everyone else. That's Gaiva. Everyone's scared of Gaiva. I say, okay, if the Abish can do that with Aaron, I can't do that with you. Well, I don't know. Everyone's so scared of Gaiva. That's Gaiva. No. I'm afraid of Gaiva. You're afraid of Gaiva. Do you know how many Gedolei Yisrael? I went to a Chassidish Rebbe in Yerushalayim. His name is the Zvila Rebbe Zangezut Mishtak Sweet. No, it wasn't. Yeah, I went to him. And I went to a different rabbi over there, the Sachachava rabbi. Were they the most lovely people you ever met? Both of them. This point, boy, were they behind me. I told the Sachachava rabbi, I says, my pshat in the gaiva of Yosef, Enenu garlo babayis is emi many. I'm the biggest man around here. That's what Yosef atzadik. That's how you talk. He's a tzadik. Yeah, Yosef atzadik. Nobody bigger than me around here. So I made a whole thing out of that. Anyway, we spoke together for half an hour. And when we finished speaking, he says, that part I like the best. All right? The Gaiva. Gaiva will save you from all the worst sins. Hold
You know how hard it is to be a begayven? You got a heart of your whole life these days.
You're the chulsha la'olam. You know, the Chofetz Chaim said after the First World War, he never saw so many eyeglasses and heart problems. And the Welt says, you're the chulsha la'olam. And the Apostle said, people don't have a muna the way they used to. And the whole world is weak. They're weak. My shver and my shviga, Leah Masholem, told me that in the Haim, back in Europe, the food tasted better. You know that? I heard they used to stay up all Thursday night, all Friday night to learn both nights. And certain yeshivas, they had different kaifas. So you're going to use that musas for them. Okay, enjoy it. Right. And I tell you, the vita garnish, the gaius, tortoise, can gaius. So gaius, no good. Now, I'll let you bug Ivan. That's all right. It's all right to be. By the way, there's a point. But watch out with that, Nida. I'm just telling you two chiddush your Rebbe has told me this. Shmuel Rozovsky, they wanted to make a vada. And another, he said, Shmuel Rozovsky, Rav Volba, I heard from an eyewitness. Someone asked, we want to work on another. Rav Volba turns around. I think we have to work on Gaiva, Rav Hutta. One said, I'd like to pour Gaiva on everybody's head. This is 40 years ago. They knew that there's a problem. You must have Gaiva. And when I say Gaiva, better than everyone around you. I say this to all my chavra. Not the guy next to you. You. This Ayin Panim L'Torah. You have to find the thing that makes you come out the best. And people who struggle are the greatest people in the world. If you struggle, they wish to love you. Person who struggles. Somebody just told me today I have an inferiority complex. I said, boy, you're lucky. Inferiority complex is a bracha min ha-shamayim. Go fight. I know somebody that's interessant. A certain person, he was persecuted by his family. He had a very hard family life. They killed him all over the place. Nobody liked him. And he couldn't get married. You know what he did? He was big in Amunah B'tachin. And he said, I'm going to show them. He was very older and divorced and no one wanted him. He couldn't do a shidduch in a million years. And I know his wife mentioned that. She got into it by the shotgun, pulled a fast one on her, and it was too late before she woke up. One of those things. The guy said, I'm going to show them. Dafka. I'm going to dafka get married and get rid of the chutzpah that this young man had. He got a beautiful shirach. It's unbelievable, Maisa. Because the chutzpah, I'll show them. Hear that? I'll show them you have more chutzpah. Anyway, okay. I told somebody recently, I'm going very, very nasty today. This young man comes over to me. I've said this many times, but it's G'day L'Chazaret. Comes over to me. He has Nebuch done something very not right. Really bad. He's embarrassed. He can't even talk about it. He still didn't tell me exactly what, but my imagination is from the real, and this fellow is not a regular person. He's a person that's known all over and that does, he's a big whatever. And now he fell and he says, I feel like a hypocrite. And I can't go on. You know what I told him? You want me to help you go on? First thing, a leopard, Reb Nosson Zatzal used to say, B'shem D'Rishalmi, I don't know, I still haven't found it, but it's a note that a leopard is weaker than a lion, because a leopard is a mamza. He's a cross of a lion and a tiger. So when a lion and a leopard get together, the leopard has such chutzpah that the lion, who's really stronger than him, runs away. Reb Nosson probably wanted to plug. You make Cholosh Yema Giborani, I'm the picture now. So I asked him about Ora. The guy's a mamza. How does the Heilige Shulchan Aruch, the tour, start off, go be a mamza? So I told this guy, you're afraid of continuing the work that you're doing because of your Averis? It says before, first lesson is, go be a mamza. Zayin Sazat Tzadik, but I'm mamza. Yeah, go hang yourself. I'm in charge around here. It's the elder said, you have to be a chaperman. You know how many people I have to tell this to? People are falling apart because of their good nature and they're warm, they're sweet, and they're nice, and they fall apart. When the kid, they can't kid the kids. Do you know that there's a... I'm going to say it. I have to be a little funny, but it's true. This guy, whatchamacallit? Shane, you know that there's a medrash in Rus. Vayi bimei shvaita shvaitim. Vayi ra boret. You know what shvaita shvaitim means? It means like this. In the time of Rus, they used to judge the judges. The judges used to tell everybody off. So he used to say, get that splinter out of your tooth. When the shvaitim would tell people, get that splinter out of your tooth, it means you're doing a various do tshuva. So the people used to tell him back, get that beam out from between your eyes. You're 10 times worse. It's a way of saying, you got worse affairs than all of us. It was a chutzpah dikadar. That was the zman of Rus. That's how Rus starts. There's another medrash that says, when they gave somebody malchus those days, when the guy got his 39 whacks, he picked up the whip, he grabbed the whip out of the guy's hands, and he whipped them back. There's a medrash like that. Oh, yeah, you're giving me malchus, I'm giving you malchus. That was a shvayit tashaytim. Now, they have said a thing. Rabbi Sai, I'm just kidding around. It's not that bad. But I did witness little 5-year-olds beating up mommies and tatties. In fact, I was called an emergency to break up the fight. I promise you it's true. I had a few of them. I have few such cases. Did you hear that? So you better watch those kids, you know. Watch yourself. Because, you know, you don't want to turn him off. He's an important person in your life, a 5-year-old schnook. I mean, his opinion means a lot. You know, when my sister-in-law used to sell shoes for little kids. She used to see these grown ladies, you know, you know, a big lady with a kid about that big. And the mother would bend down. It'd take her a year to come down. Do you want that pair? Which would you like? And kids say, no, ma! No, I want that one! No! Okay, I'll be good. And you ever hear a kid tell a parent, ma, I really mean for your own good, you need a parenting course. You still don't know how to deal with me. You still don't chop, you know, what I'm all about. You don't understand me. When I grow up, I'll teach you a thing or two. Wait till she grows up. When the kid grows up, watch out. There's a new door coming up. You know, we all used to think like that. Remember when I grow up, then I'm going to know how to do everything, right? Yeah, wait till what happens. Anyway, it's not that bad. I'm just... want to be funny, so I'm saying that story. You know, the kids in my class have told me how they try to... I get them to say all their secrets. I have 9-year-old kids. I have 28 9-year-old kids. And I tell them, boys, let's hear your secrets. How many boys try to manipulate their parents? They all raise their hands. I once had a depressed kid in the class. Very depressed. Really bad. Twice in my career. 2 different kids, all very depressed. And they both admitted to me they become depressed because it manipulates their parents. When I, you don't give me what I want, I'm getting depressed. And the mother goes crazy. I don't want you to be depressed. I'm going to get depressed, ma. I'm going to get depressed. Somebody, they still do that. You know, people want to show they're serious about life. Get depressed, you know. By the way, I have nothing against depression. Since Mishenechlas Adam Abba Besumcha, I have nothing against, you know, my thought on depression. I believe nothing wrong being depressed. Nothing wrong being depressed. The stress of having to be Besumcha, that could get you depressed. You're not Besumcha. Mishenechlas Adam, yeah, you're not cracking jokes. Mandel, you can't crack jokes. No good. You know, you're too depressive. You didn't come out good in the chasana pictures. Look, you don't have a smile.
You know how much stress people have? Ladies, Hashem Yerachem.
When I say Shalias and Isha, boy, do I have this in mind. A lady has to go, it's Nebuchadnezzar. An American type of lady, Hashem Yerachem, to go to a chasana. It's like going to a levaya. When I was a younger boss with a lady in Mishpach, I overheard, you mean, telling her husband, you mean I have to go to the chasana and smile for 5 hours? It's achmadis. If they smile, tell me you didn't smile, they look at you. And you have to be outgoing, you know, you have to have a personality. Tell me if you don't open your big mouth. And you, by the way, I want to stick up for quiet people. Nothing wrong being quiet. I'm sorry. I stick up for them big time. A quiet person is not nichshul in a nas dvorim, in lashon hara, in kaz. They're much healthier people. Quiet guys are the best. The big mouths that everybody, you know, that they're showing themselves off to the whole world all day. The gaiva and everything. Listen to me. If you're a big guy, don't worry about it. You're a lot of, enjoy yourself. I'm just sticking up if you're not. I have a case in both directions. But then for this, the quiet guy as much, might have a lot more kedusha because he's quiet and he doesn't talk so much. Less averus. Nothing wrong being quiet. I heard this from big people, by the way. Nothing wrong with American Mishigas. Rabbi Miller mentions it. Extrovertism. You got to be extrovert. Who says? Where does it say in the Torah you got to be an extrovert? Where does it say? But, faket. Mama Shtika, come inside. Come tonight. Come. Oi. You want to push the tish over to me. Get some room for the guys. Besides, it makes a good impression. See, he never has to push the table. Here's a good impression. Last night, you couldn't walk. You know, you couldn't walk. The streets were ice. And it wasn't some ice. It was ice. It was, you better watch every step you take. So I was coming from shul. So the guys got a hold of me. So there was one guy, see, a very nice guy, see, this guy, see, and he, send the bottles also. You can send them some vodka too, Rabbi. Anyway, so listen to this. So there were two guys, one was holding one hand, one the other hand. The other guy says, no, I'm putting salt, you can walk here. I says, no, I want to go to these two guys. There's more covered over there, you know, two people taking me. Oh, my God, there's more covered. So I had two guys help me, and I went like a Shana, you know. I go with it. I'm the official raid of COVID. Mishita, what's your arm? This is COVID. That Rabbi Miller told a friend of mine, somebody was offered a job, and there's going to be a lot of COVID. He was worried. It's Rabbi Miller. They're going to give me COVID. So Rabbi Miller says, well, if they give you COVID, enjoy it. Did you hear that? Uh-oh. Rabbi Miller said it. Now, I go for that also. Boy, I have COVID. Biz do. Boy, I have COVID. I'm drowning in COVID. I know somehow, and I'm going to tell you this is true, I simply don't get the Zionist. I'm not going to say it's such a problem. I'm not in Madrega. I'm looking for it. But once in a while, I appreciate it. I have my reasons. Once in a while, I look for it. I'm going to tell you a true story. I look for it. I daven for it. And I get it. Once in a while, not often. Don't look. I got it recently. Boy, did I get it good. Ooh, boy. Oh, Galinsky was once in Vienna, and he was getting too much COVID. So he says, any place I can get Bezianus around here? So they tell him, he doesn't go to that place over there. So I asked them, what happened? Oh, they knew. They give this the Malucha. They know how to put you in your place. Some people, they're good at it. You know, they know how to zug it out. This person did a job on me, I'm telling you. I was sitting there compelling. Now the person, this is true, I'm not joking. It's true. The person would tell me, I have more to say. And I was hollering, let's hear it. You know, I have more to say about you. So, Shane, but this I want to tell you. I have a track record with the people who are mavazim me. I'm very serious about this. I'm going to tell you, this happened years ago. At orientation. All the parents sit down in a room. The Rebbe tells them for 15 minutes what he plans to teach the kids that year. orientation, husbands, his wives, husbands are standing, wives are sitting. Young people, they're old enough to be my 8 o'clock, these young ladies over there. After I finish my drasha, they all look like distressed. Like, you know, they're a little afraid to move. One lady a little older than the rest gets up right there in front of everyone else and says, Rabbi Mandel, you always say that when you daven, you get whatever you want. I have been davening to get the other Rebbe for my son. How come I'm not getting, it's not happening. How do you like that one? Isn't that a great story? It's not true. Now, part is true, but not all of it. I dramatize it to make it more geschmack. But anyway, so that parent, Punkt, had the biggest success. I have a lot of that stuff. Once a father says, this is 25 years ago, says, you know, you're getting too old. I know it is in real estate, you know. You can't relate to the younger, you know. It's not, you're already over the hill. He tells this to me. This same fellow, 2 years later, had another one of his kids. He gave me $500 cash, Dana has madam, for gratefulness, what he did for his son. I have this all the time. Dafka, where I'm having criticism, there I get the most covered. Now, you don't know the power of betachin. When you work on betachin, you're in a different world. Hashem treats you different. Even when he has to give you a patch, it's sugar-coated all over the place. It happened to be comma pomum. I get a phone call. Somebody wants me. Somebody was just... We really got into it. It's rare. I don't look for trouble. I sort of get along. But this guy, and like, I got a phone call from somebody that so-and-so recommended me as being the great guy that he goes... 2 days after he cursed me to the ground, he tells the whole world that there's no one better than me. This happens all the time. I'm used to it almost. You get different treatment. Aren't you supposed to, this is a place of bazillion. I'm confused. And this happens all the time. Listen to this. I was once in the hospital, and I was going through a procedure, which was extremely painful. And the doctor said, the nurse who made a mistake, she did it wrong. She had to do it all over again. She almost had a nervous breakdown because of what the pain she was causing me. It made her crazy. Oh, I'm so sorry. She was going nuts. And I says, what's your problem? She says, the pain I just gave you. I says, I don't know what you're talking about. I promise. This is a true story. No, Rabbi, I know what I did. Don't tell me. You're trying to make me feel good. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I didn't feel no pain. It's a true story. She did it again. I didn't feel anything. She said, no. If you are a person who's close to the Eibishter, Makur of Lamalchus, you're treated different. You could be the worst. Who knows what? The Eibishter loves people who trust him. He treats them totally different. You're Makur of Lamalchus. You get different treatment. You don't know the power of betachin. I once had a mice with my foot was bad shape. And I had to sit, my foot had to be raised while I taught. And while I did anything, they said for the rest of my life, that's the matzah, Shemirach. And I was in the, and I started working on betachin and betachin and betachin. And it was still, but something funny happened. It was super comfortable. My foot was raised on a different chair. While I taught, Mamish felt like an ate. It's crazy. You put your foot up, makes you sugar. And Mamish just the opposite. It didn't make sense. I asked my Rebbe, Rabbeiza. Rabbeiza said, that's the power of the Tachan. You put a bracha on that area that you're working on. A bracha is chal. Even if it's not exactly what you want right away, eventually you got what I want also. But along the way, I've seen this with kids. I've been talking to one of my kids. That kufa, the kid looked happier than ever. Because betachin rays achal on that person. You know, you think positive. You think good things about a person. The Eibishter gives a bracha to that person. It's not even nice. What betachin does, it's unbelievable. So kedai. Betachin ayin table also. Listen to this. Somebody just called me up. He was in his 40s. He had a kid who was a rascal, a real
kid was turning over the house from the school. He's making everybody meshuggah. And so I put him on a program. You're going to say nice things about the kid without him looking. And you're going to speak betachen things about him. Do that. He calls me like 2 months later. His son turned around completely. New kid. You don't talk to the kid. Just talk all day to your wife, how great he is, and he's Ayin Tov is a very big kayach besides betachen. Talking, he's going to do great and fine. Lie a little bit. This is my prescription. It works like magic. Now, P.S. The wife told the husband, do you know you look younger? You know you look younger? When you work on betachen, your whole body likes it. Better than any vitamin in the world. Betachen, working on betachen, gives a bracha to your whole neshama, your whole body, your whole everything. Betachen is nothing. I recommend an hour a day if you can do it, a half hour, 10 minutes, whatever. But more you work on betachen, think positive and talk positive. Never, never, ever verbalize a negative emotion. My wife knows when I come home, she and I start saying I had a great day today at school. She says, "Uh-oh, what happened?" Because you always, and Rav Huttner said, when you're wrong, scream loudest. I always do that. Recently, something happened. Whatever I felt. I'm not talking. Anyway, I went into the Rebbe's room in my school, and I start telling the Rebbe's. Do you know how successful I am? There are 500 copies of the Tachon Weeklies in the Haifa. The guy just called me up. He's giving it out. See the Shigai. And Muncie, another guy, gives out a few hundred. And this guy, the Australia, always knows about me. And I got Klar Atan, Klar this, and oh, World Detroit. Oh, got me all over the place. And I started talking. And he said, oh, that's very nice. And when I finished my drush, I said, you think that's the only thing going on in my life? You don't think there's another thing side going on, you know that? But I'm not discussing it. Not with you, not with my wife, and not even the Yabishta. Lav Dafka. Yaakov Avinu said, Yesh Li Kail. And when you're something, there's two sides. No matter what's going on in your life, there's always a good side. You have to harvest, say only the good. Leave that out. Keep away from it. Poison. We need to talk about the latest problem. You know, went wrong, and this is going wrong. It complicates you, makes you a shiga. Don't talk. Rabbi Miller says, never verbalize a negative emotion. Always better a positive lie than a negative truth. Speak positive things. Day and night. I'm so happy to be alive. I'm so happy I... Whatever it is, I'm so happy I had Bezyanis yesterday. It was beautiful. This Bezyanis, I have to admit, I really enjoyed it. I'm not always on that Madriga. Don't think I'm so great. But this Bezyanis, this person knew how to do it. And I had davened for it. And it's so hard. It's not the first time this happened. That I davened that Chaim. I saw a relationship that was poisoned. Chaim and Getzel are poison, and I doubt they should hate each other. And years later, I noticed the way they're fighting. I said, how come they can't go? Oh, I once davened for that. That's something. I once davened for that. And it's going strong 10 years later. Imagine, when you daven, you can get anything you want. It's the Eibishter. For anything you want, Hakol Yochol, you have to... I'll tell you something happened to me recently. There's a certain family that doesn't hold too much for me. Listen, let me tell you something. I went to him for a wine cleanse, that's all. In the body. He said, a good guest says, I know you like me. I know you like me. They don't get involved. And he said, everyone likes me. Be a tamen. Don't be so smart. You get smart, you're in trouble. They like me, goodbye. Now, what happened? So generally, maybe I'm a tamen, but for some reason I get the feeling that I have covered bizdu. One particular family,
I once heard a remark, which between you and me is dimming. They didn't mean anything. But these guys are making fun of me. So they needed something in that family. And they had the biggest Nissan in the universe. On the spot, there was a very, very physical illness that mamish disappeared, mamish on the spot. And then there's some mental stuff going on, and it's all improved like very quickly. You know what I did? Listen to this one. And it says, Avayah Shalom. These people don't hold much for me. Show them who I am. Show them who I am, I promise you. Show them who I am. And you speak the way you feel. I told this to him right away. I'll turn around. Because, see, now you know who I am? Okay? Got better right away? It's a problem. Help. There is a problem being thankful. I mean, there's so many cases of people that people had Nisim Guluyim, and they talk to you like, you know, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You know, we all do this. It doesn't. I once had two different people in the same tkufa. One of them needed a child to get married, had terrible shalom bias, terrible parnasa problems, and one other issue. So the kids are 3 out of 4. And the next time this person called me, there was a big Yeshua with the Shidduch was a Yeshua, and with the Shalom Bayis was a Yeshua, and some with Gesund was a Yeshua. And they never called me. All they called me about was there was a financial problem coming up. And I said, wait a minute. The last time we spoke a couple of months ago, you had trouble with the Shidduch. Oh, yeah, we got a Glick Shidduch. Okay, so why didn't you ever call me? Oh, yeah, you're right, I should have called you. And he was eating his heart out about getting a Shidduch just a few months ago. Now he got a Glick Shidduch. He didn't say a word about it. Nothing about the Shidduch. Suddenly his wife is getting along with him for the first time in who knows when. He used to kvetch about his wife. Suddenly his wife. I have a lot of such cases. Another guy had trouble learning and he couldn't learn for it. And now it's, after now he was like, and now he's calling me up. He's having a problem financially. And his wife, he had trouble with his wife. He had trouble with his learning. And he calls me up about the money. I said, one second. What's with your wife? Oh, that's all gone completely. And what's with the learning? Oh, I never learned so much about it. I said, why didn't you tell me a thing about this? So yeah, the guy called me up. One of my favorite stories. Rabbi Mandel. A year ago, I had no money left. And you gave me one bracha and the money started flowing like crazy. So I said, so what are you calling me now for? A year later. He said, well, now the money's suddenly not going anymore. I thought, now you're coming again. I want to tell you something just happened. He said, people know me too well already. They know all my jokes. I come to a chasana and my relatives, they come, oh, Mandel, yeah, you're drinking. So you see two of us, you know, all my jokes, whoever I bump into. Oh, anyway, I just got off the phone. It's a very nice lady. And the lady tells me, and I gave brachas, and she says, I didn't say anything. Don't worry, I'm going to call you up to tell you everything's okay. And don't worry, I'm going to tell the whole world what a bivon meifus you are. I says, where did you hear that? She says, I know you already. They all know me. They all know my jokes already. Have to be Machadish new jokes. Give me a bracha, Rabbi Yitzchak. You get new jokes, Bezer Hashem. I have new jokes, David's all helping. This Adim Nabako, I know a younger man who couldn't go to the bathroom. He one Purim, boom. Mike the Purim back to the bathroom. I know the guy. I know a guy, what Purim could do, and the guy couldn't do a shidduch, he was in his 30s. One Purim, he was serious as a few months later, a chassan. Purim, and now Purim stops now, but now for so turn around. Don't be in the spot, what? Want to sing? Let's go. Lama singing. What do you want to, now I want to tell you, yes? My niggin. This niggin by me is I don't know, for some, I like this one. Utsu Eitzav, by me, is Neri Neri Yis.
Utsu Eitzav,
Esu Hufon. Hey, Dabra, Dabra, Mela, Yaka. Hey, Utsu Eitzav, Esu Hufon, Dabra, Dabra, Yaka, Gimak.